And Janayat Yashuvaya Gyanam Cha Yero Hoitukam. Let me just comment that this is text number 43. Hoitukam can be understood maybe in two ways or more. One is that they're unmotivated. They're not being misused for material purposes. You don't have a hate, you don't have a motive, an angle. Or, from the other side, that they don't have any identifiable cause. In other words, the person who got them didn't have to do anything separately to get them. They just came to him. By virtue of his being a devotee, they just come. Mukti. Swayam mukarutajali savya te sman. I don't know the rest of that verse, how it starts or anything. It's Kulashekha. This is Bill Mamala or it's Kulashekhar? Anyway, if you have devotion for Krishna, that's not just neophyte, if you actually have devotion, then liberation is standing like a maidservant begging for some service. You don't have to cajole her. You don't have to seek her out. She's standing in front, at your attendance, waiting for your wish and command, like the genie in the bottle. And your wish is my command. So, therefore, if you have devotion for Krishna, you don't have to look for liberation. Liberation is right there. If you don't want her, you'll send her, say, go, come back tomorrow. I don't want. But if you want, she's there. Question, should a devotee want liberation or not? It depends what kind of devotee you want to be, or what kind of devotee you're ready to be. If you're ready to emulate the standard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, if you're aiming for the higher stages of prema, somewhere in the direction of Mahabhava, then Mama Janmani Janmani Shware Bhavatad Bhakti Rahoi Tuki Tvai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's not even Mahaprabhu, that's, what is this, number four, the fourth verse of the Shikshastaka? No, there's a third verse. No, there's another somebody. Third. And that's maybe Nishta being represented on that stage, in that verse. Not the highest stages, not even awakening in Bhava. Just preparing to get ready for Bhava. On that stage, Lord Chaitanya is expressing the proper attitude of the devotee who's fixed, absolutely fixed in Krishna's service. I don't want anything material. Na danam na janam na sundarim kovitam va jagadisha kamaye. O Lord of the universe. Krishna is Jagannath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped Lord Krishna in the form of Jagannath. That was his Ishtadeva. Why do we worship Jagannath on our altars? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Why do we offer prayers every day to Nisimhadev? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. We don't have Lord Kapila or usually other deities on our altars. Prabhupada was very conservative about it. We worship certain deities on our ISKCON temple, and we don't make a whole three-ring circus of all different kinds of deities. But we worship Jagannath in many of our temples because Lord Chaitanya worshipped Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. Of course, Lord Chaitanya's conception of Jagannath was not the Virat Rupa or even Narayana. He saw Jagannath as Shyama Sundar. And he was experiencing the mood of the gopis. The gopis love and separation from that Shyama Sundar. And that's what he saw in Jagannath. Still, the name means Lord of the Universe. Or Jagadisha, as Jayadev Kavi, who was also worshipping that same Jagannath. I don't know, is it an established fact that the Gita Govinda was for Lord Jagannath originally? Written for him? We don't know, but it's, you know, it's anyway, it's been incorporated in the daily services of Lord Jagannath. Okay. Pratapuru, is that a fact?
That yeah, the inscription is a fact.
Maybe they were doing it, or his maybe they were doing it unofficially before that, but he made it a rule. Anyway, whether or not Jayadev intended the Gita Govinda to be offered to Lord Jagannath, anyway, Lord Jagannath took it anyway, whether it was an intentional offering or just Lord Jagannath grabbed it. So the same Shyamasundara is being worshipped in the Gita Govinda. That's an obvious fact. If you read the book, it's obvious. It's not about... although, the Dashavatara Stotra is there in the very beginning. It's part of the book. It is part of the book, it wasn't added later? Okay, and that's addressed to the ten avatars. Jai Jagadisha Hare. The rest of the book is about Shyamasundara and his beloved consort. Anyway, Jagadisha, O Lord of the universe. Now why does Lord Chaitanya say that, use that same word, Jagadisha Kamehe? Because Krishna is the Lord of the universe. If you have material desires, he's the one to go to. He's the in charge of the material universe. Apart from him being the beloved Gopinath and Shodanandana and everything else, he's also the creator of this material world. I think technically the name Jagannath and the name Jagannath and Jagadisha, these are Gauna names because they describe Krishna's relationship with the material world. Now, I don't know if you want to tell that to anybody from Orissa that Jagannath is a secondary name, but technically it is. Because you may get the idea that, that God is the one that you go to for fulfilling your material desires. If you've got some, better to go to him than to some demigod. So he's Jagadisha. He's the Lord of the universe and he can dispense the fulfillment of all material desires as well as spiritual desires. But Lord Chaitanya is making it clear to that, that Jagadisha, Jagannath, that he doesn't have any material agenda. Nadananda jananda sundarim kavitam ba Jagadisha kamaye. Others are coming to you as you know, Satyanarayana and doing their Satyanarayana puja for the success of their material life. But I'm approaching you with no material desire. I don't want money. I don't want followers. And if you want money, a good way to get it is get followers. They'll give you money. But he doesn't want either. Or you can become a poet or a great musician and people will give you money and you'll get fame for that. He doesn't want that. I don't want to be. I don't want the blessings of great poetry. Kavitva, kavita. I don't want to be a great poet, great artist, either. Then he has no desire? Is he actually free of all desire? No, he makes a stipulation. And I'd make it very strongly. I must have this. I don't want that, I don't want that, but here's what I want, and I must have it. Bhavata bhaktiya mama janmani janmani shri. So one more denial. I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want poetic inspiration, and I don't want liberation. And that he says in a roundabout way, mama janmani janmani shri, in my birth after birth. Implying, although not saying it, but you don't, you know, it doesn't have to be that obvious to make the point, that I don't care if I take birth again and again. I don't want liberation either. So a list of four things he doesn't want, but there's one thing that he insists on. I must have Bhavatad Bhaktiro Hoituki Toyi. I must have unmotivated devotional service for you. And it must be for you. Not for somebody else, and it must be a hoituki, it must be pure, unalloyed devotional service. I won't be satisfied with anything else, any cheap imitation of that. So same word, a hoituki, But here it means that I don't want to have any side motive. I want only to be aiming at your satisfaction. So that's the perfection. That is someone who is fixed in devotional service already. Others are trying to get to that stage. They're sadhakas, or let's say, as copulative phrases it here, yogi naha, yogis, persons who are endeavoring for that perfection. But if they practice by the process of bhakti yoga, of proper, authorized practice of serving Krishna, according to the prescription of spiritual master and revealed scripture, then and that bhakti should not be done in ignorance, should not be sentimental, whimsical, foolish. The devotee, not only should he be faithful to his authorities, but he should have some idea of what he's doing. He should have spiritual knowledge, sambandhagyana, especially tattvagyana. He must know what God is and what his business with God is supposed to be. He should know the Shikshastaka, that third verse. He should understand what point Lord Chaitanya is making there. And he should be detached. If he's too materialistic, if he's indulging in unnecessary sense gratification, then he won't be able to be serious about Krishna. Jivaya lalasai ye iti uti dai shishnodana parayana nadi Krishna pai. This is the slogan of my life. That somebody who out of the avariciousness of the tongue, the folly of the tongue, is running here and there to find nice things to eat, that he is actually the slave of his genitals and his abdomen, his belly, and he won't get Krishna that way. So one has to develop renunciation, not to indulge the belly and the genitals and the other organs as they demand. So the bhakti yoga has to be together with knowledge and appropriate detachment. Then Kapilidev says they are aiming for the ultimate perfection of their lives, and what they'll get, the prayojana, the perfection, they'll get my lotus feet, which are akutobayam obaya charanada vinda. The abaya means fearless, but this is it's a kind of bahuvrihi where there's a shift of cases here, because it doesn't mean that the feet themselves are free or fearless. Yeah, Krishna's feet are fearless, but the idea is that because of the feet, someone else becomes fearless. The person who worships those feet, they're the feet from which fearlessness comes. Avayam yasmat te charanaha, those feet from, by, well, it's not above free anyway, but those feet from which one, okay, it is a kind of above free, but it's a punchini above free. And I think theoretically Bhagavad, the case is always supposed to be Saptami or Shashti, but sometimes it's another case like the fifth. The feet from which fearlessness comes. Madvayad Vati Vata, previous verse. Even the big demigods in this world are being controlled and motivated by fear. Out of fear of me the sun shines, the wind blows. But those who are serving me in pure devotion, even the sadhakas, they're beyond this fear. They're free from fear. Better than being a controlling demigod is to be even a neophyte engaged in Krishna's pure devotional service. Okay, any questions or comments? Just
if liberation comes automatically through one who is practicing devotion, and one doesn't need to endeavor for it separately, does one need to endeavor for it at all?
I think that actually this jnana and vairagya that come automatically, even for a sadhaka.
Yeah, sorry.
I think it got to be siddha. You know, you got to be actually adept in devotional service to get liberation, begging you to accept her. So in the sadhaka stage, in the neophyte stage at least, we still have to work for liberation. Yeah, actually,
I actually meant
jnana vairagya. Oh, jnana
vairagya. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, then the question is, we don't have to...
Well, if we don't have to endeavor for them separately, do we have to endeavor for them at all?
Yes. The jnana is being given to us, but we have to take it. You know, someone can be giving you very good advice. If you don't listen to it, you don't receive it. Jnana has to be received by hearing attentively with conviction. You have to have shraddha and you have to have attention. The jnana can be surrounded by jnana. It can be, you know, thrown at you constantly, but if you don't hear it attentively and faithfully, you won't receive it. You won't internalize it. So yeah, you do have to make the endeavor of listening faithfully. And then obeying, and then carrying out the instructions. That is an endeavor. We don't have to look at the jnana. It's being handed to us. But we have to accept it and then use it. That endeavor must be made in that, in properly assimilating the knowledge and then properly utilizing the knowledge. And I guess what the renunciation do? We have to put it into practice. Because the devotee has freedom. Freedom to go back into sense gratification too. So he has the power of renunciation, but he can squander it and lose it. It's like a man is given a lot of money, but he has to know how to manage the money prudently so it isn't gone very quickly. Like that, we may be given the power of renunciation, but we can squander that and lose it. We can misuse it again for single and end up back in sense gratification. A person who is powerful, suppose he takes sannyas, then everybody's ready to throw money at him and become his disciples, and he can get in trouble if he's spiritually weak and end up in worse sense gratification than he was before, more entangled than before. So renunciation can be dangerous, and the power that comes from renunciation can be dangerous, and then backfires. It has to be properly assimilated, mixed with devotion. It has to be mixed with, you know, one part of renunciation and 10 parts of devotion. Otherwise, it can be poisonous. And you know, 96 parts of humility, and then it works. Then the renunciation is potent. It doesn't have the opposite effect. Okay.
For this reason, in a usual translation of the Master Sutras, nobody translates Kavita.
Oh, I think it's given a different translation, that's all. There must be something there in the translation.
Beautiful women.
Beautiful women, that's it.
As described in poetry.
Sundari Kavita. So, Sundari could by itself be the beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the word Kavita maybe is not. Maybe it's just sort of merged into Sundari.
I've heard it described, beautiful women as described in nice poetry.
Okay.
You get an idea of your Nakashika description.
Is Kavita can mean something else as well as being a
Kavita? Well, being a Kavita is what it means, Kavita.
Right.
Grammatically, it means the state of being a Kavita.
Yeah.
But there are different meanings of Kavita. Brahma is the Adikavi and Valmiki is the Adikavi. There was a question that was asked me on Saturday. How can they both be the Adikavi? Because, not because Adi means two different things. He asked me, well, does Adi mean two different things? The first, not really the first, and then really the first. No, it's not. The problem is not with the word Adi, it's with the word Kavi. There's more than one meaning of Kavi. Brahma, the first learned, educated person, the first wise man. And Valmiki is the first poet. It means wise or educated person, and it also means poet.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay, so kavita can mean either thing, being a, you know, the qualification to write poetry, or being a scholar. It can mean either one, and probably some other meanings too. Vedic rishis are also called kavis, but they're writing poetry. This is a very special kind of poetry. Vedic, yes. But they're also called kavis. Valmiki is called the first kavi because he's the kind of kavi we know about, the one that writes in shlokas, rather than Vedic suktas. He was the first one to write a shloka, therefore he's called the Adi Kavi. It's not like nobody knew any poetry before that. Katha, what is it? Kanam. All the speech is song. The song incorporates poetry. I hope it's articulate song, song with words. But the people in Goloka, they're speaking words, not just singing without words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that includes poetry, the lyrics for poetry, and all the talk in Goloka is song with lyrics. So the poetry is there. Not that they're all poets, but we have a material idea of a poet, a certain profession, person, a scribbler who writes shlokas. There's a word, poet taster or something. There's some half derogatory term for a poet who writes doggerel, writes mediocre poetry. He's called something poet taster or something.
Yadva tadva kavi.
That's good. Yadva tadva. Lukewarm kavi. Some kind of poet. If you don't have the bija, the seed of inspiration, of genius, talent, then your poetry will be simply upahasya, laughable.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you know all the skills. If you don't have the seed of genius, then don't even try to be a poet. That's Kavi Karnapur. And before him, Mamata. This is their definition of a poet. He's got to have one of the things, his main thing is he's got to have the seed of genius.
Kativa.
That you have. That's not learned, that you have it or you don't have it.
Is it possible to put kavita with sundari?
Well, I think sundari is an adjective modifying kavita.
Oh, beautiful poetry.
Yeah, sundari is normally an adjective. But sundari also becomes a noun. But sundara is an adjective, it's the feminine of the adjective.
Right.
Originally, sundara is an adjective.
Uh-huh.
But sundari also becomes a noun. The feminine form, not the masculine form, is not usually used as a noun.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but the feminine form is used as a noun, but originally it's an adjective.
Right.
So as an adjective, it would modify, well, the simplest way to see it is that sundari is just an adjective modifying kavita. It's inverted, so that may confuse you, but it's, you know, grammatically, you would think that that's the adjective and kavita is a noun. No way it's going to be the other way around. Kavita is not going to become an adjective.
Yeah.
And the two words are in agreement, or they look to be in agreement, unless it's just coincidental.
Right.
Look, they're both feminine accusatives, and what else do you need another feminine accusative there for?
Right.
Yeah. There's no character for it.
Yeah.
No, akanksha for another feminine accusative.
Mm.
Why sundari? Unless sundari means beautiful girls. I don't want any beautiful girls. Yeah, it would make sense. Just the word kavita is also there.
One thing.
Well, then liberation is the next thing also.
And
that's the first indirect reason, so it makes five.
Five things.
Yeah.
One thing that King does seem to be mentioning in that verse is Rasu Vidyava Gujivana. We say the life of transcendental knowledge.
It is the life of the wife.
Life of the wife.
That jivanam there means is poetic, meaning the groom of the bride, the bridegroom of it's a romantic image of that sankirtan itself is like the young bridegroom who is the beloved of the Vidya, who is the young bride. Varunjivanam, mm-hmm. you know, evokes a romantic image of the life of the young girl. Her beloved
is the groom.
Well, Jivanam means the life, but here it's yeah. a you know sort of Shringara rasa is evoked here.
Yeah.
Vadu Jivanam.
But Vidya is not masculine. Vidya is feminine.
No, Vidya is no, but Vidya Vadu, Vadu is feminine.
Yeah.
Jivanam is Nudu, but it's a Shakti Purusha. But Vidya Vadu is a Karmadarya. Mm-hmm. Vidya is the Vadu. So genders are right. That's both of those are feminine. Vidya and Vadu. And because they're why? Because they don't lose their feminine endings. And even if someone else in Vidya stays Vidya. I don't remember why. Okay. I don't think we could have this question and answer session in a big temple in front of everybody. It drives them nuts. Yeah. All this grammar. Yeah. Okay. Thank you all very much.